Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM HD2, Kenner, New Orleans. And with me, Tom Fitzmaurice, that's the food show. And with us, it's Mary Ann.
Hey there.
And there she is. She picks up her microphone as if to give a toast to me, or for me to give a toast to her, or we'll go back and
to
toast some
it.
Bread or something like that.
Or
oh,
just to speak
you know
into
what?
It.
When I got here today, you had a pizza box sitting out on the counter in there.
I was on the West Bank today.
On the West Bank.
And I stopped in at Moe's Pizza.
Moe's. When we first started doing this program, back 30-something years ago, for some reason we were continuously talking about Moe's Pizza.
Does anybody know how old Moe's is?
Well, it's at least 30. But
is that right?
It's been around a long time. I remember when we first started, no kidding, that's my connection, is that everybody was talking about that. They were also talking about R&O's in Bucktown.
Well, you know what? That's kind of like the same kind of people, because it's the same kind of place. It's really interesting that you say that, because if there's one thing you can say about Moe's,
mm-hmm.
it's that it is very Nolens.
It is that.
And
coming from West Wego, how could it not be?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I am really interested in having a little of this pizza, maybe when we get off the show, because it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good?
I think it's good. Do you?
Well, I went over there because mm-hmm. someone said that Moe's has the best lasagna in town.
Yeah, it's not just a pizza place. They've also done just regular Italian food to a great extent.
Yeah,
and they have a
pretty extensive menu, actually.
Kind of a New York kind of spin to
it. Yeah, it's definitely a New York pizza. But the lasagna, they said, was the best in town. So I had a couple of bites of the lasagna, and I thought it was good.
But it's then you went to Giorlando's and
it's got a little sweet flavor to it. It's that sweet red sauce,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like.
No.
I'd much prefer a red sauce that is sweet only by the onions. And frankly, I like peppers too in the sauce. So if it's naturally sweetened by the ingredients in the sauce, that's one thing. But to actually add sugar, I don't like the taste.
I don't think too many people actually do that, but it does show up if you add enough of certain things.
I think a lot of old Sicilians do.
Yeah, that's exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And that's
what this is. I would say that's what this is.
They have a way of building it into the sauce.
Yeah, they just add it to the sauce. But
that's what I said.
I don't really care for that sweet flavor in it. You know, it's not my thing. But they had Stromboli's there.
That's an interesting ingredient. I've only seen it up in the Northeast whenever I've been out that way. They have that. It's a Stromboli is a volcano out in the ocean, in the Mediterranean. And you can take your cruise ship within the degree that you can actually feel the little tiny pieces of charcoal coming out of the air. This is where I'm not kidding.
What?
There are these flower.
I've been there. I've seen it.
And they come out and they smoke and they sometimes
land
on. It's a volcano.
But I didn't. I didn't catch any pieces of charcoal, and I guarantee, Tom, that I stood on that deck and watched Stromboli a lot more than you did.
I don't know, because I knew about it before I'd ever run into it.
Tom was probably taking a nap.
I was, anyway, it's definitely there, and if you go out on the ocean between Palermo and...
The two sirens, Scylla and Charybdis.
Scylla and Charybdis, very good. And you didn't even take Greek, did you? Or did you? Oh, well, I guess
we
not.
We need a webcam for the look that I'm giving Tom.
Oh,
right
brother,
now.
I can feel pieces of flesh falling off.
The look translated says, what do you think I am, a dummy?
This is the food show, and what are we talking about today?
We're not talking about anything, as usual. We have sort of this loose food theme, but we wind up not talking about anything. Would love some calls, though, if you would like to. I like to keep urging. You know what it is, Tom? I heard a little bit of your show with Allie.
Yeah.
And Allie was so solicitous. She would say, Alan, please call, or Stephen, or Steve, or Gregory. And she would be so charming and solicitous that they all just had to call. I'm not like that.
Let's
call
hope
if
not.
You want to. 260-6368. Otherwise, I can talk from now till the cows come home.
Well, you know, here, I'm just going through my brain and thinking of all of the things that we haven't talked about in a while, but that are eminently...
Talkable.
Right. So here's the first one off of my
out of the top. Well, I was going to go back to some stuff that you had in your almanac, which is good because it's pertinent to today.
Okay, you can do that, but I was going to go with red beans for the first few seconds anyway. Right. Today's Monday, and it's red beans day.
It is. That's right. All right, I'll let you have that.
Oh, by the way, guess what happened over the weekend that just ended?
What happened over the weekend that just ended?
I can't tell you.
No?
I can't tell you what it is. It's something I can't tell you. that's all I can say about it.
Okay, well, then why did you mention it?
I was looking for other things to get our conversation going.
So, always. Be curious. I'm curious to see what happened over the weekend that you can't tell us. Mm. Oh, I know what it is. It was my birthday and you forgot it again.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. Ooh, no. It's not the 7th,
is it? Tom's forgotten so many of my birthdays. I'm trying to figure out why he was upset about this one. I still can't figure it out.
Was it the 9th or the 7th?
He forgot my 50th, for crying out loud. So this one shouldn't have upset you at all. Anyway, I don't know what else you could be talking about that happened over the weekend, other than the Saints loss. But anyway, in your almanac, you have that the comic strip that, what was that? It wasn't the olive oil and Popeye the Sailor Man. What is that comic strip? What was that comic strip?
Popeye.
Oh. Okay.
If there's one thing I know my comic strips
Who is probably more responsible for the vast amount of spinach eaten in America
was born today.
Yep. You think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. In fact, if you go to, there's a town in southern Texas. It's coming to me, but it's not there yet. And there is a statue right in the middle of town of Popeye. Because they're so grateful, the people who live in this town are so grateful to all of the spinach sales that they've...
Popeye generated?
Popeye
generated. Where was that?
It's in Texas.
It's where they grow a lot of spinach?
They grow vast amounts of spinach.
Really? I didn't know that.
I've been there.
It's in Texas?
It's an eagle. Something eagle.
In Texas?
Somebody will know the answer to this. You know, it's down in southernmost Texas. And it's, you know, how
that's kind of interesting because that doesn't seem like a kind of a
it has
fertile place.
It has endless fields of spinach.
Spinach.
Yeah, and somebody must know the answer to this. If you know, if there is any, could be. No, it's Crystal City. That is that's correct. If you had a prize, I'd give it to you. Yeah. if you were to go
there, the oracle speaks again.
On and on and on to the horizon, and they are in love with Popeye.
Hmm.
And this isn't the Popeye with the, well, maybe it is. I don't know who owns what in terms of that, but the.
So, Tom, you did a lot of spinach eating when you were a kid.
Yeah, I thought something would have to help my puniness.
Yeah. Did it?
No. No, but I think...
I already knew the answer to that, but I was just going to let him say it. Go ahead, what?
No, I've had people walk up to me and tell me, you know, there's this cumulatively... You know, there was one guy who had a really strange word, and he says, but you know, it's the charming thing about you.
Oh, that you're a wimp?
That I'm puny. Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
Wait, some kid in school actually said that to you? No, I don't believe
and
it.
And then, you know, as soon as that happened...
Because, first of all, a kid would not use the word charming.
It was kind of getting to me, so I pulled out my Jesuit high school.
Okay, so maybe this was high school.
High school, yeah, it was high school.
Oh, okay, I see.
And I opened it up, and there it was.
Tom has the saddest stories.
And there I was, and I thought, I'm not a puny.
Uh-huh.
And then I looked at my picture in the
yearbook?
Jesuit.
Yearbook.
I was.
And what did you conclude?
I'm a wimpy.
That you? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But it.
Well, glad we got that straight.
Yeah. let's see. What else do we need to ask people about?
260-6368. So that was
That's two things.
Comic strip.
Crystal.
The person who drew the comic strip that inspired everyone to mm-hmm. eat spinach is
yeah.
named
Crystal.
L.V. Seeger.
L.V. Seeger, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's his name.
L.Z. in 1894.
Mm-hmm.
And he began the newspaper comic strip called Thimble Theater in 1919. Mm-hmm.
So far, so good, yeah.
The two main characters were hapless adventurers Castor Oil.
That's right.
And Ham Gravy.
Ham Gravy.
In 1929, a new character named Popeye appeared and soon took over the strip. He was a sailor with unaccountable strength, which he attributed to his lavish eating of spinach. That fantasy inspired kids all over the land, myself included, meaning Tom is writing this, to eat as much spinach as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a puny kid,
I don't think there a bad side of spinach? I don't think there is.
Yeah.
Maybe there is one that I've never been aware of, but anyhow, so you have spinach there always waiting for you and ready to do good things for your diet. So is that true or not true?
Well, absolutely, that's true. But I would say that the consumption of spinach modern day has much less to do with that cartoon strip and much more to do with it being on the lists of everything from cortisol reducers to... skin fill in the blank for it's just great for your health. So, you know, not your strength so much, but your general overall health.
Mm-hmm. Well, that all sounds like it's the kind of thing that spinach would take care of you. So you go and eat oysters Rockefeller, right? Let's catch them with a few things here. What is the problem
or
with oysters?
Or spinach and artichoke dip.
Oysters? Wait a
How
minute.
How about this, Tom?
What?
How about spinach and artichoke dip?
Oh, well.
With fried oysters over it, like Pete served you at the lake house 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they just load them up.
Yeah, the pipeline is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
And I want one of the spigots to be right here at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did buy, you know what? I was at Aquistapaces over the weekend looking for Ronald Reginald Vanilla.
Yeah.
Whenever I am charged with an unusual item,
mm-hmm.
not likely to be found at Rouse's or a regular store,
mm-hmm.
I go to Aquistapace, and it's almost a given that there will be at least one of said item on the shelf.
Well, we know very well the guy who owns that.
Yeah, it's a really good place. Anyway, so...
And and the original recipe came from Warren LaRouffe. Now, you just don't get better than that.
Well, I was heading off in a different direction with this.
Oh, well, head on.
Since my story, I'm going back to it. So notice in looking for the Ronald Reginald that they had artichoke hearts for $1.99 a can. Mm-hmm. And I usually keep a stash of those because I make more than my share of spin dip. But I bought a whole bunch of cans at that price because they were Roland, which is fine. That's a good product. And I will be making some spin dip for the Christmas holidays for sure. Because doesn't everyone need to eat more spin dip, Tom?
I don't see why they shouldn't.
260-6368 is the number. You're listening to The Food Show, and we'll be back. This is WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Our program is unique currently and throughout the Americas, North America and halfway.
Somewhere, yeah. 260-6368 is the number. I do love the quote that
we have a bunch of them today. We have a I make a list every day of terms that make a reference to food and to drink and things like that. So, but today we got a bunch of them and they're all pretty funny too. If we get off to the start, Music to Drink By is the name of the department. Moonlight Cocktail. You've probably heard that song.
No, I mean, I may have, but I don't, I don't know.
Moonlight Cocktail. Anyway, it was a major hit for the Glenn Miller Orchestra, and you don't get a whole lot better than in terms of big time old jazz albums of these guys with their big orchestras. Anyway, Bob Eberle, who was their singer, and the Modern Airs, who was the backup group, and they would sing. Anyway, this was quite an outfit, and they recorded today in 1941.
The Moonlight Cocktail. I love the other quote that you have down here.
Yeah, they get better as we go.
The James Thurber one. The most dangerous food is wedding cake.
Yeah, that's right. That was that James Thurber? Yeah, he was funny. I remember when I was in high school, I would read his books because he was just hilariously funny at the New Yorker. I think he's gone now.
He was born in 1894. Yes, I would say that's a very good possibility.
Well, we have
that
some
long gone.
Other ones. I mean, these are just references to food. Okay.
Looks can be deceiving. It's eating that's believing.
It's eating.
James Thurber again.
Oh, there he is again.
Yeah.
Actor Lee J. Cobb was born today in 1911. He played tough guys who would probably be never caught eating a Cobb salad instead of a steak.
Now, I have a wonderful discovery that I have made.
Oh, what is it?
You can eat a steak on a Cobb salad.
Mm-hmm.
When Keith Young changed his menu a couple of months ago, he put a Cobb salad on the menu. It's much more salad-oriented. That's incorrect to say.
It is.
There are more salads on this menu that is much larger than it was, and it's a lunch menu. We usually go for lunch, but anyway, there was a Cobb salad. There is a Cobb salad. It's a really good Cobb salad, but you can get chicken or steak on the salad.
Yeah, and they layer it out.
Beef tips. Yeah, so I've had beef tips on the salad. And you can get a Cobb salad and a steak, as it turns out. So Lee J. Cobb.
I don't know why you would want to.
It was delicious. That's why, because everything they do over there is delicious. And the steak was very tender, and it was little chunks of steak, and it was just really a great Cobb salad, actually. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. So go ahead.
Here are some of the things that in the classic outlay of a Cobb salad, the things you have. You have the lettuce variety is, it's the kind that they're always taking back.
Iceberg?
Romaine. Mm-hmm. It's romaine salad. There's blue cheese in there. Mm-hmm. There's avocados in there. There are
crumbled bacon.
Crumbled bacon, and we're getting close to the end
here. Hard-boiled egg.
Hard-boiled egg. Exactly.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
And usually a grilled chicken.
Grilled chicken, if you want, but not if you don't. You don't have to have it. And what they
I've never seen a Cobb that didn't have chicken on it.
It probably is true, but it's one of those things where you can go this way or that way. So it's no big deal. But it's a great salad, and the place you will find the greatest number of them and probably done the best varieties would be in Chicago. I'm sorry, not in Chicago. In Los Angeles. You see it everywhere you go in Los Angeles. Hmm. So, in fact, that's where it got its name. Bob Cobb.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. That was his name.
The Brown Derby.
He had the Brown Derby, right.
Yes. Anyway, I do love Cobb salads. I get them wherever I go, unless I want something else.
But
a Cobb salad is always a great thing, I think,
to
get.
Yeah, go to L.A. and ask for a Cobb salad, and you will get one, and it'll be good. I mean, this
you
is something most people...
You can get a Cobb salad all kinds of places.
Everywhere you go
there. There's a good Cobb salad at Blue Craft. There's also a good one there.
The Windsor Court, too.
Yeah. Yesterday, you know what I had at a party yesterday? There was a smoked salmon.
Yeah.
Platter.
Yeah. I had that yesterday
smoked,
so far.
With all of the smoked salmon.
Uh-huh.
Accoutrement.
Yeah.
That you usually see with cold smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was hot smoked salmon, which I eat, versus cold smoked, which
totally
I don't.
Two totally different
they
things.
They are. I don't eat the cold. I do eat the hot. And it came from Robert's.
Mm-hmm.
I think Robert's does a good job with smoking salmon. Most people would say this is too well done, but I like it because I like things well done. But anyway, it was a platter. It had the capers, the purple onion, the egg that was – it was so finely chopped. It was almost like minced. I'm trying to think what else was on there. What else comes like
well,
that?
Well, here's
part of that deal.
Here's a couple of things that are in there that you might not think about. If you're doing salmon, cooked salmon, as opposed to raw, you really have to be very gentle with that, and because it does cook all the way through, it gets very soft, it pulls apart. Whereas if you get it the
cold smoking way,
cold smoking.
What is the difference?
Well, here's what you get: cold smoked salmon. First of all, it is smoked, which means that it's going to be tightened up a little bit. It will also be cured. And there'll be some more seasonings than you're used to getting. And all of this will take place over sometimes for, you know, hours and hours on end. I've heard of it going on for a whole day. But it goes very slowly, and then it's served cold, whereas the other one is served warm.
Okay, so is there any heat that's... I guess the answer is no if it's called cold smoked salmon. So
yeah, that would be a clue.
What it is
what
essentially it is it's just cured. It's cured like it's not like a ceviche because there's no vinegar or any marinade in it. Why, what makes it
well,
cooked
it's,
or sort
it,
of
it's,
cooked?
It's the curing and the smoking. That's it, and you know where.
Well, smoking implies heat, Tom. So where does the smoking come from if it's not heat?
Well, what you do is you get your big green egg, and you get a fire going in there where the temperature inside the grill is only about 100 degrees.
Okay, so there is some fire.
Oh, yeah.
There is some fire,
no
but it's not a lot.
Well,
it's like off in the distance.
I'll tell you who to check with this. Our friends the B.O.'s. Because they buy these, you know, like a whole side of these things when they have people over. And
is it cold smoked?
Yeah.
It's cold smoked.
Cold smoked, yeah.
Okay, well, they probably get it from Acquista Pace. But,
I'm sure you could. But
Robert's does a hot smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe they do a cold one too, but that's the only one I've ever had from there. And I really do like it when it's hot smoked. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat with us. We're doing our usual, just chatting about
goofing
nothing
off,
much at
you know,
all.
Just right.
You know,
well, I don't know.
Food.
You know, there are a lot of people. I remember my first exposure to smoked salmon came when I started going to the Windsor Court. Oh, excuse me, not them. The a Louis XVI restaurant in the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. They had all that classic stuff. And Antoine's, believe it or not, they served it for a long time. But they would bring in special varieties of smoked salmon to serve there. But it was not, it was always on there, at least always in all the years that I've been going there at Antoine's. Mm-hmm. But it got out of vogue. And you don't see it very often anymore.
What, cold smoked salmon?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I see it all over the place.
Well, you, compared with a whole lot of other fish, let's just say that.
Hmm.
But it is a classic thing, if you ask me. I love it.
Well, I like it, but I like it, like I said, I like to know that my fish is cooked. Anyway, 260-6368.
My fish has been cooked more than a few times.
6-8 is the number. You know, I was looking at, you know what I did over the weekend, I experienced the pleasures of retail therapy for the first time probably ever.
Retail therapy?
Retail therapy, yes.
What is that?
It's when you go shopping a lot.
Oh, that.
I don't shop. I've never been a shopper. But, you know, I got this catalog. This is the power of catalogs. I got this catalog in the mail about a week ago.
Yeah.
And it was from Crate and Barrel. And I love Crate and Barrel. And I love to look at Crate and Barrel because I love the interiors and the home settings that are backdrops for their wares. And I usually like to look at that more than I do what's being sold.
Mm-hmm.
Because Crate and Barrel has sort of a look, just like Williams-Sonoma has a look, and it's not unique in any way. But I still do like their stuff. So I made the mistake of looking at this Crate and Barrel catalog, and then I wound up seeing some things I needed to get for the boys, so I got that. And then I flipped the page, and I saw something that Jude's been wanting forever and ever, so I got that. Then I got
Jude
one for Mary
Lou,
too. And then I decided, wow, this is a lot of fun. I'm going to go out and actually shop in a store over the weekend. And that's what I did. But you know what I found out? I would go and see, and this might be the Williams-Sonoma catalog, but I love holiday-themed
everything.
China and stuff. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll talk some more about that. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
Here's what we have on the table today. First on the list is nothing, nothing, and nothing. And then followed by Felix, which is where you go to get
New Orleans
first
hamburger and seafood.
Well, I was getting to that. And then, because it was all in alphabetical order. But then we also were talking about smoked salmon and getting into that a little bit. And I would recommend, if you want to see what smoked salmon can be if it is warmed up a little bit, Matina Bella, which is this really great breakfast place in the middle of Covington. And they have one of their many egg dishes there. It uses cold smoked salmon, and they put it in there and with a very light sauce, and it's just great. It's very different from what you'll find anywhere else under that name. Our number today is New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood.
260-6368 is the number, but New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood is where you can go for.
you caught me. And anyway, New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company is all over the city of New Orleans. We have 10 locations. And the best news about this place in recent times is that they now have grilled oysters. This is becoming the greatest dish in the history of New Orleans, which is saying something. But they do have that, and they're happy to go with it any day of the week. But this is only the beginning. They have the hamburgers, of course, two things, thick and juicy, which actually opens it up for a different kind of thing. It's juicy and thick, but it's also crusty on the outside, which gives us certain something that I really love. And they put that out every day. And the menu goes on to include, just to give you one example that I'll bet you not enough people order, and that is their barbecue shrimp. You know, you've had barbecue shrimp, New Orleans style, at some time or another. Well, here it is, and it's right there on the menu, among with many other things. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. The seafood part of it starts off with fresh seafood cooked to a crunchiness and also a crispness and a complete
golden
absence
brown.
of browning and goldness. And you don't want any of those oil overly.
It's greaseless.
Is
yes,
a good word
totally
for
greaseless.
You. But the place itself is very good, and their product is more than you are accustomed to getting from.
Char grilled oysters now, too.
Oh, we sure do have those.
New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood.
Yeah, 105. No, we don't have one of those, do we?
260-6368 is the number.
Oh, that's us, yeah.
260-MENU. Okay, so I started to say, I had all this retail therapy.
You had red...
And I...
Wait. Before you go on with that. Okay, you're going on, you're doing some shopping, some nice things, right?
So
far?
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a lady who made her own wedding dress. From scratch.
And this is apropos of what, Tom?
Just wanted to flatter you, my darling.
So thank you, honey. So I would go into places, and I was looking at these catalogs, and I see these gorgeous holiday plates and things that are... they're things that you would use once a year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But it's really been hard for me for about 5 years now.
Why?
To talk myself out of buying these plaid plates. They're China plates that are plaid for Christmas that I would use one time or if you had two parties, maybe twice a year. And it's really, are you tempted? Is anybody else tempted to go out and buy things that you know are stupid buy just because it's gorgeous and because it's in front of your face every year? And it's just like you go into Pottery Barn or you go into Williams-Sonoma and there's a plate with a reindeer on it and it's got a reindeer name and you think, I've got to collect all of these for Christmas. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I think it's just you.
Highly susceptible.
We have wedding...
To beautiful things.
We have wedding...
even seasonal beautiful things.
Yeah.
And I have to sort of beat back the urge to purchase these things.
Oh, well.
Anyway,
we'll never get to the end
of it. Does anyone else have that thought about the holidays where you... Or maybe you do have these things. It could be China. It could be special linen napkins. Or it could be servingware, but things that are holiday inspired. Like one of the things that I bought for the boys, and I didn't realize this until Jude told me that they were actual China plates. I didn't pay much attention to this description. It was a sale, so I bought it. But there was this adorable little print on these plates for Christmas. It was like 4 to a set. So I thought, you know, they could eat their pancakes in the morning in the holiday time on these holiday plates. Then there was this really cute little melamine oblong platter that I thought, oh, you know, when they put the fruit out for breakfast, they can have that. So I did that, and then I just started looking at all the other china, and I started thinking, well, I want some of this too. But I don't know. Does anybody else have that? It could be also those circular linen napkin holders or any of this stuff. Could be spreaders for a cheese ball that made out of a snowman or any of the things that are holiday themed. How much of that stuff do you have, and are you tempted to buy it like I am?
Well, we have all our original getting married collection.
We do have that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we've
never
wanted that, Tom. I knew we were
never
going to use it.
You,
we have not ever used it. We have not ever.
And it's beautiful.
It. It is beautiful, but we have not ever used that. You are correct. And then I went out and I bought, does anybody remember Mervyn's, when Mervyn's was around? I think I don't know if they're even in business anywhere. It was a California store, and I really liked it.
Yeah, are your headphones on?
It kind of like predates Belk. No, my headphones are in a shambles, Tom.
I've just been
and
informed
they're sticky to boot.
That we're running out of time for Stephen Gregory.
Okay. All right. I don't know if it's Stephen or Gregory first, but let's do it.
Throw the dice. What
we'll
the
recognize the voice.
Hello.
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 It is Stephen. Okay.
It is me.
Steven.
Okay.
Hello.
When you make your brownies and you put walnuts in them, do you roast the walnuts first in the oven before you bake them, or do you just throw them raw into the batter and let it bake while they're cooking?
Yeah, that's the latter. The latter.
You don't pre-cook the
I
walnuts.
I do roast nuts. But I roast them as part of a gigantic pile of nuts and seeds. And I find that walnuts do not really cook all that well. I find that they come out with sort of a taste that's not as appealing as in its raw state. Do you?
Yeah, well, I just normally just throw them in the batter and cook them but I was just wondering if I was doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's any right or wrong to most of this stuff. It's kind of like to your taste, I think.
Yeah, me too.
Do you use a mix for brownies, or do you do them from scratch?
Well, lately they've been selling brownie mix for $1.
Where?
At Walmart. So, but I do goose it up. You know, I put milk or half and half in instead of water. And I may add some chocolate, and I may break up a Hershey bar and throw in chunks of Hershey bar with my brownies.
Yeah, I like stuff in my brownies, you know, plain brownies.
And then I put a fair amount of walnuts, because I think walnuts are healthy for you.
They are very healthy for you, yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. With pasta, vermicelli pasta, which mainly comes from Italy, does that make you less bloated after you eat it? Is that
No, it's strictly by weight. Measure it strictly
Don't you find
by weight.
That all pasta does that, Stephen.
Okay. Well, I've heard Chef Andre.
You know what
talk
the
about
meaning
not
of
being
vermicelli.
Bloated after eating his pasta.
The actual translation of vermicelli is little worms.
Okay.
Now, what does that tell you right there?
It tells you that you don't want to think about what the actual meaning of vermicelli is while you're eating
it. Oh, the smaller they are, the better they are.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
you know what, Stephen? I would love to see some research done on this, and I'm sure that there has been some. I just haven't read it. But I absolutely believe that the pasta in Italy does not make you as fat as here.
Well, that was my question.
Now, the lifestyle in Italy is completely different, but I think that the raw materials being used in Italy versus here is different.
Okay.
You know, here's my theory on that. The prices in Italy are higher than the prices here.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, if the wholesaler charges you $100, if you go to Italy with it, the chances are it's $125.
Well,
or depending
of
on
course.
How, you know, well, we
but
take
what
it
that
for
got
granted.
To do, what has that got to do with the raw materials in the pasta?
Okay, if you order X amount of pasta in Italy, it's going to cost you more than the exact same amount in American style.
No, I don't think it's a price thing. I think it's a raw materials thing. Like I was talking earlier about this guy who does the Bellegarde bakery. And his wheats are heirloom wheat. It makes a big difference. What'd you say, Doug?
Greg wants to come on and we're running out of time.
All right.
Time.
Okay. Goodbye, Stephen. Did you have another thing on your list? Anything else on your list?
Yeah. I did.
Oh, go ahead.
Wanted to talk about red sauce sweetening. Some people put brown sugar in it. Some people put sugar. I normally just put a big squeeze of ketchup in my red sauce to make it. And it's not real sweet, but it's sort
of
just
got a lot of sugar in it.
It does. It definitely does. You know what I did, Stephen? One time I took bell peppers and I put those in a red sauce along with the onions and everything else that you normally put in it. And it threw off a lot of sweetness. I really, really loved that sauce. It was a really complex flavored sauce.
I lately have been cooking my red sauce with celery.
Yeah.
When I do up my onions and hamburger.
You can never go wrong with that. That's a really healthy ingredient.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
See you later. We have Gregory over here. Gregory, welcome. Come on in.
Hello. Hello. Hello, Marianne. Hello, Tom.
Hey.
How are you?
Here I am.
Happy. Everybody's happy. Tom, I know I don't have much time because I wouldn't have swung the phone, but I, you know, get a break here.
Sorry about that.
Tom, I was checking out your website. You know, I'm a devotee to nomenu.com.
You
used to do a great Revillon review. Is it incomplete or is it not just...
Well, you know, you will look, no matter how far back you go, an admission that because... How many do they have this year? Is it something like 40 of them, I think?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't think there's that many. Are there, Gregory?
I haven't been able to get a reading on
it. It seems like it's less of a number than usual.
But it's still a big number. But if I were to go to every place in town that had Revillon dinners, I would really love doing that, and I would have
absolutely. Oh, I know that's true, Tom. But back in the past, it wasn't that you went to everyone, but you had good feelers out and you had good pointers.
Yeah, I get a lot of information from people who call us on the show about other stuff.
Well,
so yeah, I admit that it is not a coverage of every single one, but I think most people understand that. So far, it's been a little harder than usual because I've had too many balls in the air. So it's just.
Why, sure.
Gregory. If you look on nomenu.com, I have been doing what's called happenings. And, we have a special section for Revillon 2019. So it was my intention to highlight a Revillon that had a unique or special menu in some way. And because of the layout of nomenu.com now, where there's a picture that accompanies every article,
I said, I love what you've done with the website since you've kind of taken over the helm there.
Yeah, thank you. So I actually have asked certain people for pictures, and I'm still waiting for them. So I put brunch thing in there today instead. But we will be highlighting a different Revillon every day, provided that I have a picture. And then if you click on Revillon 2019, you can see a list of the ones that are highlighted with the little accompanying article. But I don't think there are as many as there have been in the past. Do you find that
at
the website?
Yes, it actually has shrank.
Marianne,
but the ones up there, the list I've seen. But I guess what inspired my phone call in the first place, not just to say hello to you guys because I love you, it was it seems like this new chef at Broussard's is tearing it up, and he's doing a dish I haven't had in years, fricassee oysters, Tom. You remember this dish?
I know exactly what you're talking about. That's a great dish.
And you know what he said, this new chef? You know, after the new year, from January to the end of 2020, they're going to do dishes from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s to commemorate the 100 years of Broussard's. And listen, I'm not getting paid for this. It's just a restaurant that I've always loved, even when the...
Me too.
Even... Yeah, oh man, it's just one of my favorite spots. But their menu looked enticing. I put it on the web, and then they just happened to be, when I was getting ready to go to work, they were on Channel 4 this morning doing a little cooking demo, and he did those fricasseed oysters, and I hadn't had that in years, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
You're talking about the chef at Broussard's?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So so I'm definitely looking forward to that. But I think it's fantastic that what they're going to do for the 100 years. They actually went to the New Orleans, the historic New Orleans collection, and found copies of their menus going all the way back to the 20s at Broussard's.
At the historic. That's going to be very cool.
I think it's going to be terrific. I think a lot of us locals have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just had to pipe in. Love you guys.
Love you. Yeah,
thanks a lot for calling. See ya. It's the food show. In fact, you know, I got an email from them a couple of days ago that told about what they were getting done. And they've really done, finally, a great job of making a catalog of all of the Revillon dinners that are coming this year. Having had to kind of redo my own list of those things, which I did for years, it's just impossible for just one guy to do it, but I try. But now the organization that puts on the Revillon, they do a much better job than I do because they've got all the data. But it's do not go through the month without enjoying the Revillon. It's the best. It really is tremendous. A lot of good ones. The prices are very affordable, and the places are just beautiful. That's, you know, just always there that way.
Well, I know you love Antoine's at the holidays.
Oh, I sure do.
Antoine's big giant Christmas tree.
I'm overdue to go to
You're overdue to go there. You're overdue to go to the Bon-Ton. That's one of your things, too. But the weather's not cold enough for Bon-Ton for you right now, right?
Yeah, and I've kind of decided that I have done it already because I've been there.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
Well, you kind of went on a bad night anyway. You went on a cold, nasty, rainy night,
too.
Didn't you?
I did, yeah.
So it's kind of got to be part of that for you. So you've done it already then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll strike that one off our list.
Well, you know, we only have about a minute left, but I think you'll approve of this.
Okay,
When I was a little kid, my mother had this wonderful practice that she had of buying little toys. They were delightful, but they were nothing special.
Uh-huh.
And she would come home and put them in the... stocking of each of her kids, which was four,
mm-hmm.
depending on who you counted. And every morning we would wake up and we've had these silly little toys in there, but we would go out of our minds with delight. These were the what did we call them? It's so long ago.
The elves?
The elves.
Yeah.
It was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started having kids, I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the special little royal little animals.
Little stockings, yeah.
Stockings. Mm-hmm. And we did, and the kids were wild over it. If you have little kids, try that. You have my permission to take the whole concept and run with it. Because your kids...
You didn't invent elves, Tom.
I know that, but the idea is... But anyway...
It's still going strong after these many years.
Yeah, believe me, you'll
Christmas
be happy.
Christmas is a special, wonderful time, and you can still have fun even if you don't have little kids around, though.
Yeah.
A lot of good parties to go to, a lot of nice plaid plates you can buy. Everyone, have a good evening. Hope you find a good meal tonight.
105.
We'll talk... More tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.